Hey everybody, welcome to a very special episode of the Geek Food Podcast with me, Tejas. This week I have with me Jishnu and Abhimanyu. How's it going, guys? Abhimanyu, how are you? It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yeah, pajamas.
Pajama life.
Close.
Jishnu, how are you? Are you in pajamas? No, I can see you.
I do, I used
sweatpants.
To. No, I...
Sweet. Do you own a pair of pajamas or do you sleep fancy?
Just in case you want to know.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my first pair of sweatpants in the country. Last time I had sweatpants was in the United States, and I haven't been there in like 7 years. So I bought it on a whim and like 6 months ago, and I'm so glad I did.
Oh, man, I think sweatpants are amazing. So for last Halloween, I dressed up as Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse. And basically the character's wearing sweatpants through that. So that was my first pair in a very long time. And man, it changed
like
my world. So sweatpants are a go.
With AC, yeah.
With AC, a little bit. Yes, sweatpants are a go. Yeah, of course. Also, so this week we've got Abhimanyu on the show because all three of us share a passion for video gaming. And we game using video, like we watch on the TV screens or the monitors, and using
I'm a
console.
Xbox man.
Just know what console
because
do you own, and how did you come to that decision?
When I was in the States again, all through college, I had to leave it there along with like 70% of my belongings. It was a very sad day. And then I took a long break from gaming, for about maybe 5 years, and then about 8 or 9 months ago, I got the Xbox One. Mainly because it was so much cheaper than the PS4.
Nice.
I got it for like 18,000 rupees, I think. And
it is a lot.
Yeah, I got the S. So I wanted the 4K capable guy.
You got the digital one,
right? So the only downside is that it doesn't take CDs. Yeah. So it's a limited storage space. So it's a terabyte, which is fine. I don't need to have access to that many games at the same time. I'm never going to play that many games at the same time anyway. But yeah, I got it for 18, and I believe the PS4 at the time, the Pro, which also does 4K, was about 27 or 26. So it was like a good 10 grand, give or take, more, you know? So.
Yeah.
And with Xbox Game Pass, you get so many games for free if you just pay, I think, like $700 a month. So in the long run, it's actually much cheaper, and they just get like AAA titles all the time.
So at home over here, we have a fair
we got
a few. So Abhimanyu and I live together, and obviously because of that, you know, we spend a lot of time watching movies and playing video games. And we first bought the PS4 Pro because I wanted it. I really wanted it for Spider-Man, because that was the game that kind of changed the switch in my brain, saying, "Man, yo, I'm turning 30. We gotta have video games in this house." Mm. And so we bought that first, and then Abhimanyu.
I think the first conversation was, "How are like current gen consoles? Like, are the graphics that good?" Like, we didn't know at all. Like, we just.
I was playing stuff on Steam, but
it's not like current gen. I don't think your laptop could have handled it.
Mm. I couldn't have. I've been able to play a few games here, but not without compromise. You know, like I didn't want to ruin my system for work and stuff. So then when we saw the trailer for Spider-Man, we were just like, oh, yeah, cool. It's time to maybe, you know, take the plunge. So we ended up buying a PS4 Pro, and then Abhimanyu later on got a Xbox One S.
Yeah.
The same thing that you have as well, Jishnu. And then I bought a Nintendo Switch just because I'm a hoe. And I was just like, I gotta be a Nintendo guy again. Because
how much
I remember
was the Switch when you bought it?
Of owning
it's
a,
been like
a Game
a year
Boy
now.
And a Game Boy Advance and a Game Boy Color as a kid. The Switch was 23 when I bought it. I got it on a deal. I think I got it on around Christmas. So it was like around 22, 23, which was the lowest it had reached.
The Switch is more expensive than an Xbox One.
And I was just like, okay, cool. Like, I gotta... Yeah, it is. Man, the Switch, obviously, it has a bunch of, like, you know, pros to it because of just the ability to kind of dock and redock and undock and, you know, take the game everywhere. So I really
riddle
me the portable thing, but now it's like almost permanently docked because I'm not
the Zelda game that
I'm not going anywhere.
How often? Well, no. So apart from specifically the Zelda game,
and
I'm
Super
talking
Mario
about
Odyssey.
Games that are adventure games, that are story-driven games, that aren't just sort of like... get really good at the mechanism and then just rinse and repeat kind of games, which is the majority of what I see people playing on the Switch almost exclusively. How much do you find yourself playing games where you can get lost in a world as opposed to a rinse and repeat kind of a game on the Switch?
I play the Switch maybe every couple of days, because I mean, just for as a time thing, but I definitely think there are more like indie games on the Switch than there are like mainstay kind of like AAA type games. And like the Switch
absolutely,
has become
which is why I didn't pick it up, because I
that's something anyway.
The story driven games and like the one player just extended universe you can dig into.
I want to just take it back. Not to say indie games don't have stories, but it's just like the AAA title in terms of.
No, I mean, like I said, it came out with Zelda, so there are.
I just never see people playing.
But then there'll be side scrollers
like whenever people.
Yeah, so most of the big thing about Nintendo has always been that Nintendo's like a family, honorable family company. And man, you have to understand, like, Nintendo's like more than 100 years old as a company. They were a playing card company back in the 1800s, like the late 1800s is when they started. And basically they went on from there, and they have just had a, they have a legacy of giving you quality products. So, so when they created like a Nintendo back, like the way we know it in the 80s, all of it was like family friendly stuff. So most of Nintendo's games are co-op games or couch co-op or local co-op or, you know, internet co-op games. So they make them that way because they want to kind of foster that kind of, you know, fun with the console. But yeah, obviously PS4 and Xbox are the champions of like, you know, the really hardcore story based stuff. In fact, that is what our episode is about today. So today, Jishnu, Abhimanyu and I, we are going to talk about some of our favorite. I've decided to keep two categories. One is open world, completely open world. And the other one is sandbox, which kind of is...
yeah, I got a question. What's the difference between those two?
So I think open I think they're more or less the same thing, but I like to define it like...
I think you can F around a lot more in sandbox, right? Like you create your own rules or something?
No, not necessarily. I'm not the perfect guy to describe the difference, but I'd say The Witcher and say Spider-Man 4... Spider-Man and Witcher are two different types of games, right? Like The Witcher is more of a, like an open world, completely open world game, where there's literally no end to it, and like or like an Assassin's Creed, like now and it's but Spider-Man is a sandbox
game.
Okay,
I haven't played Spider-Man yet. But I believe Spider-Man is akin to the Arkham series. Is that fair? So could I say? By this definition,
exactly.
The Arkham series is
a lot like that.
Is not a sandbox game, because it, like you said with Spider-Man, it's like you're constricted to the missions and you don't really find yourself playing it too much beyond that. Is that what you mean? Oh god.
No. So okay,
I'm with you with Assassin's Creed. I follow what you mean by the difference between Assassin's Creed and if Arkham is like Spider-Man, like, then I understand.
Yeah. So Assassin's Creed. So maybe I'll make three differentiations then. So there's Assassin's Creed, which is Origins onwards, and maybe even Valhalla, which is coming out, and also what is the one with Odyssey, right? Yeah. So those are really like open world games, which are RPGs. Then there's the sandbox kind of game, I think, which is like an Arkham or a Spider-Man. And then there is level games, like, you know, like Jedi Fallen Order or Super Mario Odyssey, which are basically maps within... one level, and then you keep kind of changing, and they'll make a mechanism for it saying, oh, this is a new planet, Super Mario, it's in this is a new kingdom, this is a new kingdom, this is a new kingdom. In Jedi Fallen Order, it's like, okay, we have to go to this planet, we have to go to this planet. So those are like constrained maps.
Kind of like No Man's Sky.
No, No Man's Sky is unlimited. No, that's the...
So what is
that's
that?
So that game is like the bop of all of these games. That game, No Man's Sky, was made with a... randomly generated engine, like a procedurally generated environment. So it's basically an endless game, like the universe itself, which you can travel miles and miles, and the computer itself, based on where you're going and how you're going and
so
what it's decided.
It's
an AI device that kind of generates new planets and its own flora and fauna and characters and everything like that.
For my own amusement,
that is like magical. Sims. Obviously, it's another being altogether.
Because that has no end either.
The Sims? I think the Sims is a classic sandbox.
Trapped.
It's a sandbox.
Trap box.
Because it's one map. But you can do a lot of things in that. Yeah,
it's a simulator, right?
Yeah, it's a strategy game. But we can keep, we can define it
like goat simulator
till the cows come home, till the goats come
till the goats come home.
All right. So I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here at this point, since we have kind of defined the range of what we're going to be speaking about today. And we'll come back and we'll talk about some of our favorite games within these, or maybe some of the games that we just spoke about right now. Hey guys, we're back. We're talking about video games, because we don't do that often on this show. Jishnu, how about you start by telling us some of the games you're playing? What's your favorite?
I'm just going to tell you a game. You tell me what category you want to put in for your amusement. But the reason I don't talk about video games much is because I'm very slow with them. I don't bounce around between games too much. When I find a game I like, I live with it for a long time. And I take my time with it. I'm not the kind of person who will, like, for instance, since we mentioned Arkham, I've played all of them. I've never had any inclination to go looking for all Riddler trophies. I couldn't care less about that stuff. I've played a bunch of the Assassin's Creed games. I stopped I finished 3. So I did every Assassin's game up until 3. And again, I never got like 100% completion. But, you know, I do a fair bit of the... I do all the side missions, but then the ones like in Arkham, the Riddler trophies, like every game has its one little thing that has literally 1,000 iterations of this that you have to just laboriously just go through. Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, now this is no longer
That's
fun.
What makes
this
your
is just for like an OCD person to feel satisfied. And I'm not that OCD, so I don't need to do that. Also, I just don't have time. Like,
I know what you mean.
But the other thing is, I'm also really slow to pick up momentum in games, which is probably why I can't bounce between games too much. So the only games that I find myself sort of like mindlessly playing as just like, you know, turn my brain off and just sort of ease into something for like just for f***'s sake will be an FPS game. And I'm partial to Call of Duty. In particular, the older, I just played the World War II one. I friggin' loved it. I just got Warzone. I'm kind of on the fence about that. It's free.
It's free, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Are you a Battle Royale guy?
But it's like 100 GB.
I'm not. I realize I don't think I am a Battle Royale guy. I haven't given it a fair chance, but that's because, to my main point, I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 very late in the game, I know, but I am over the moon about this game. I would like to say... So for one, I'd like to say, I would like
Describe
to think
it for
I'm
somebody
almost
who
done,
hasn't played it.
But the best thing about this, and again, this is because I'm so slow with games. Apparently, I shouldn't be surprised at how long this game is, because to me, being like a Call of Duty guy and being an FPS boy for the most part, I'm used to games that last like 8 hours, give or take. This one is going on like freaking 20, 30 hours maybe. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier because...
That's still
so
light
if you haven't
for an RPG.
Played it, or if you haven't heard of it, I'd be very surprised if you're listening to this and haven't heard of the game. It's, I think, a far better version of GTA. And I've played GTA 4 and 5. I finished 5. I didn't finish 4 because I just got tired of it. But 5 I really enjoyed, and I finished all the way through. And the difference is that this is just GTA in the Old West. So
pretty like labor intensive, like
yes, it is.
If your horse
on
is tired,
paper,
you gotta sit
I'm
down,
with you. Like this is what
coffee.
Everybody told me. Like, everybody that I've mentioned this to, when I've told them, like
I don't know how
I've been killing my time
hunting
moose and bison, and I can tell you the minutiae details between an elk and a pronghorn doe. It sounds boring as hell, and on paper it is, and I would believe you if you told me the same. But somehow, unlike a GTA, unlike games like Arkham and Assassin's Creed, where I have problems with, like, you're making me just do laborious tasks that I couldn't care less about. Somehow, I don't know why exactly, but it's just far more deeply satisfying for me to go on the hunt for some random legendary white fox in the middle of the Alps, or wherever, not Alps, but Rocky Mountains, I guess, and spend hours just hunting for some random animal that will afford me some new coat that I can now dress my character in. Like, it has very little to do with the game. And you know what I realized? How much I love this game when two things happened. One was, I bought this game very quickly after getting the Xbox last September. I played it for about 6 weeks, and then life got busy and I paused on the game for months. I picked the game back up in March once lockdown began. And I'm sure we've all had those moments where you're playing a game that's so vast like this, where there's like that one next thing that you have to do and it's under your fucking nose, but you spend weeks running around in circles like a headless chicken going like, where the hell is the thing? Why can't I do the thing? Why can't I progress the story? And I thought like an idiot that because of the game mechanics, I had to go and do those Riddler Trophy-esque laborious tasks to level up. I thought I had to just go and hunt like 50 different animals to before they would move the story along. When in reality, it was the simplest go here, talk to this guy, boom, you're in the next world. And I was like, wow. But here's the thing. While doing that laborious shit, maybe this is just quarantine doing its pulling its number on me. I had the time of my life spending hours just chasing a fucking crow and a snake and like unlocking new horses and finding new names for them and shit like that. Like, I had a blast. And now the story is progressing and it's doubling down on me because I've definitely logged like 80 hours, maybe 100 on this game at this point. And I'm so close to finishing it. And there are so many moments where I thought, okay, this is it. This is the end of the thing. This is the big one. This is the big move. This is the big robbery, whatever the hell. It never ends. And I couldn't be happier because the story is just immaculate. The voice acting is brilliant. It looks beautiful. And I thought the Arkham games, especially Arkham Knight, was like some of the best writing I'd seen in a long time. I think those games pale in comparison to this one. Now, yes, yes, it's so good.
Have you seen Jablinski games when the guy from Red Dead gives a
basically, the point is I couldn't recommend this game. But then again, it's also like a couple of years old, I believe, so this is very old news. I'm just,
Nice.
It's only a couple. Yeah, dude, for this kind of game, when you have to log in like so many hours just to kind of get the best experience out of it, it takes... I mean, even when I played Origins, which is like the last game I played, which I was like so invested in that, you know, I loved. But yeah, I think that was the last time I played. But even that took was... when I started that, maybe 2-3 years after the fact.
Yeah, like, man, that's the thing, man. Like, I tried playing Witcher 3. I got about 7 hours in. And just to progress in the main mission, I have to go around, do about 20 side missions, get some random ass potions, level up, and then continue the motion.
Yeah, but do those side missions?
Because I was really enjoying the story. Like,
do those side missions feel good? Like, when you're doing random side missions, do they feel like a pain or do they feel...
Okay. They do feel good, but the thing is, I know, as I get older, I want to know how the story ends as quickly as possible. That might have been because the game before that I was playing was The Last of Us 2. And that's... The Last of Us. And that was just like, you know, straight story. And I was like, okay, maybe, you know, Witcher, let me see what the story's like. And honestly, The Last of Us was like at the back of my mind, so I couldn't really enjoy it. But right now I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins. And that is an RPG, but I don't mind going around doing all the side quests, and because it's, you know, it's tied down in history. I think
because it's the best game.
Yeah, and I'm really getting into it. So I might actually go back to Witcher 3 after I'm done with the Origins, because I've never actually completed an RPG in my life.
I mean, you can't. I mean, you can, but it's just like, the point is like for these games, is just that you have to decide whether you want the story or you want the journey. And the journey sometimes is far more rewarding.
I'm 100% with you. And then I play a
conclusion they can concoct. And that's
fine. And my mind was blown. Because it somehow is doing both.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll discuss some more games in this category. Hey, we're back. We're talking about open world, sandbox, RPG, video games. They're just all in the same category. I want to talk about Super Mario Odyssey. I'm playing it. I know it was the first game that released with Nintendo Switch. So I played Breath of the Wild and then it gave me anxiety. So I had to stop halfway through. And really, I can't. You know, there's something about the Nintendo sound effects, right? Which goes like every time you do something, it's like ding, 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 ding. And it just, I don't know, it just makes me shit myself. I don't know why. So I had to kind of put a pause on that game after playing it for like 30, 40 hours. But I went back to the other game that was launched with the Switch, which is Super Mario Odyssey. And this is like a Jedi Fallen Order. It's like a map based thing, but my God, it's the most chill game you will ever play in your life. The most like no stress, game. And it's about, The key mechanism, I'll just tell you this before we move on, is that Bowser has kidnapped Peach again to marry her. And he keeps going to these kingdoms to steal like one thing from each kingdom, like the cake or the wedding dress or the something else or the stew. And basically, Princess Peach is wearing a tiara that is sentient, has eyes on it, and is alive. And he's stolen that also. And so the husband of that tiara becomes your Cap. And he says, okay, cool, Mario, I'm Cappy, you're Mario, let's go and get these girls back. And so you can toss your cap. That's the main thing of the game, that you can toss your hat into anything. And once you toss it onto anything, like a T-Rex, like a Bob-omb or whatever, and you'll become that. Or, you know, like, what are those other small guys called? Anyway, so you can become those characters. But yeah, you keep going to every kingdom. But the cool thing about this is that it's ingenious with its mechanics. It's got like no major story, except the fact that the gameplay is like classic Mario. If you played like any N64 Mario or Super Mario 64 or anything like that, it's really, really good. Nice open worlds, lots of secrets. And this is something that Nintendo has been talking about, that I think Ubisoft, which is what I'm trying to segue through, that Ubisoft wants to do, which is that they want to stop telling players where to find stuff. Like, they want to like remove more elements from the maps of these games. So I think Valhalla, which is coming out, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, will, and like the next Nintendo games, will, these big maps, right, these huge open worlds, will have less and less elements on the map to tell you where to go, and will rely more on exploration.
Like, do you think they're kind of relying on these maps being so good because they want people to play as many hours possible?
Exactly.
Because
that's statistics, the thing, right? They add want up, people right. to. So the Ubisoft head said that the next Assassin's Creed is going to be like 150 hours of gameplay.
Oh my god!
Like,
but didn't they say it's going to be? I thought they said it was going to be like a shorter story.
Maybe So the story will be short, right? Like the story.
Something about it they said something about it significantly lesser than the other games by
for
design.
For sure. Like if you play, like, if
so,
if you
Odyssey
play
is twice as big as Origins.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, because that's with Mario Odyssey also, yeah.
So how big is Valhalla compared to Odyssey?
So I think Valhalla is going to be like, again, it's going to be bigger than Odyssey. But I think now if you, like, the thing is about these games that, including Arkham, in the Arkham series, you can finish the main story mission if you just follow the story.
15 hours,
you can finish it in like 15 hours, yeah, maybe even less. Yeah. Like these speed runs that these guys do. But you've got to be really good, right? Like, the way that we play, us noobs play games, is that we make sure we're a level up higher than all the bad guys are facing at that point. And then we make sure that we can win, because it's just easier, because we log in all the grinding.
It's designed to help you.
Exactly, right? But some people who are good, like, there's this one guy on YouTube who tried to finish Zelda on the moment he starts the game. So Zelda is one of those games, the Breath of the Wild, where you can go to the final kingdom and face the final villain right at the start of the game. But you'll, like, obviously you'll get f***ed.
It's like that South Park episode where they're playing World of Warcraft.
And they just try and...
Yeah, and they just stay in the cellar for like 2 weeks and try and...
So that's the new way games are moving forward. I will say that I still have a soft spot for like games that have map based kind of like, or which are level based.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah, because those are just like designed with a lot of care, and you know, like they're done to kind of like we're talking about, like, you know, whether it's Red Dead or something like Origins. There are more, or like Riddler trophies. Yeah, I did Riddler trophies for Arkham City. I platinumed that game, but it was so annoying because it was really difficult to find. But level-based games, like map-based games, are not all about that. They're about like more of like how many secrets can you unlock, but it's not like, it's not just here, let's just fill up the map with a bunch of things. Like, a lot of these games have things against them. Like, you know, the criticism for most of these types of games, sometimes people say that they are, you know, that it's a lot of repetition in the missions and stuff. Like that's why people kind of faded out in the Assassin's Creed during Syndicate and stuff. But now with the new stuff, it doesn't feel all that bad because it's part of the story somehow.
Have you both played GTA in particular? 5?
I've not finished 4 or 5, but I've played.
Yeah,
both.
I think I've done about 15 hours. I played on my brother's Xbox back at home.
And you still haven't finished it?
No. So I think I did like 50%.
Why? Okay. So why did you not finish it?
I'll tell you why. So I was playing in my brother's room at home, and I had to fly back. So I couldn't.
Oh, you just physically couldn't.
Yeah,
okay,
and,
cool.
And I did download it again, but I'm like, oh man, I'm going to 50% again.
Okay,
but so I was enjoying it.
I got stuck on one level With who's the main white guy who lives in the mansion, which is the BoJack Horseman type mansion? Oh no, not BoJack Horseman type mansion.
I forget his name. Yeah.
So there's one mission where you have to, I think, I can't remember. I don't know if this was the mission or this really annoyed me enough. But basically, you have to take your car and tie a chain around his mansion and bring the house down, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for some reason, that mission screwed me so bad. It's like the helicopter mission in 3. I don't know if you guys remember, or Vice City or something. You know, it was like, it was insanely hard and tricky that you kind of luck out if you finish that level. Hmm. But I finished Vice City, but I never finished that level in 4, I think. Hmm. And I was just like, I just can't.
Here's the thing, which is what I feel like this is very old news to anybody that's far more savvy with video games, so I apologize. But I feel like the thing that's blowing me away consistently with Red Dead, and the fact that I've been able to sustain playing almost 100 hours and loving it as much as I still am, unlike with a GTA, which, you know, made by the same freaking company, very similar dynamics in across all realms. Like, it's literally a cookie cutter.
Is it less
duplicate of it, just a better version of it? It's far less douchey. But it's also that like you said, that laboriousness of the just doing the same mechanics again and again. Somehow what they've managed to do, which I've had trouble with the Arkham games, with the Assassin's Creed games, knowing, of course, that I haven't played the newest ones of the Assassin's Creed games, but with GTA, with Arkham, and with Assassin's Creed, when you do the side missions and you're choosing to ignore the main one, the main plot line, those side missions can be cool and they can be fun, and, you know, you can like unlock some really neat little
gear,
a different flavor to the game, gear, whatever it is. Yeah, something fun always happens from that, so it's good. But I'd say the vast majority of the time, they felt very separate. They felt distinctly like, here's a random bunch of side missions that clearly are stacked on top of each other.
So you kind of forget about the main story, what's happening, right?
Yeah, they feel very much like a different meal at a different table in the restaurant. Nice, you know what I mean? Yeah. But with this one, it's very small little detail with just simple acting performances of just like saying, you know, like when I said I spent a good 10, 15 hours on my own running around like a headless chicken exploring the rest of the map because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I ended up obviously going into territory that I wasn't supposed to go to yet.
Yeah.
And so now I find myself revisiting that thingy, and somebody tells me, oh, we're going to go to this cave. And I'm like, oh, I've been there. And then my guy says, oh yeah, I've been there. And that's it doesn't take much for me to go, I appreciate that little bit of detail, unlike in a GTA where if I did something like that, it would be I never went there. Red Dead is one of their best games ever.
Like, this is, they put the most effort into it. And
I mean, a lot of sacrifices. What happened to make that game happen? I don't know if you saw the reports of the overwork, like
crunch.
Yeah, so apparently they've, you know, loosened up a little.
It shows because like the attention to detail is what's really blowing my mind.
Yeah, like I mean, I genuinely had
moments where I stood up.
Animals start rotting like 2 hours while you're carrying them.
Oh god!
And like flies start forming.
Yeah. Yep.
When you shoot, when you reload, you can see his lips move and he's counting the bullets as like when they're, you know, reloading.
Mad.
Yeah, just minute.
All right. Cool. So we'll take a pause here. I think basically what we're trying to say. See, I really love indie games because they are like independent. Like it's like independent music, right? Like you can see the cracks in the sea and the seams and everything like that, right? But I obviously, you know, we play these huge AAA games because they can, you know, amass such an like huge amount of information into like this one visceral kind of experience. And I think it pays off, man, in games like Red Dead, obviously, and Spider-Man, Arkham, whatever it is. And it's cool, man. So so just no final recommendation, Red Dead Redemption 2?
No, it's pretty sure.
All right, great, fine. Abhimanyu, what would you recommend?
I mean, it's everything has been said about this game, and you know, I wouldn't be adding much. And because it was Game of the Year, but I just finished God of War. Is it 4?
Well, technically, yes.
4.
And it's called God of War.
And I was like, when I started, I was like, yeah, okay, fine. It's gonna be a good game. I'll make my own decision. And like 20 hours later, I'm like in tears and kind of got into Norse mythology after, honestly. Like, what happened? I think when you played Origins, Assassin's Creed, you kind of got into Egyptology. Kind of similar situation for me, but with Norse mythology. I'm reading what's his
name? Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman. book on Norse mythology.
I'm reading The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry.
Awesome. Nice. All right, cool. I would recommend, I'll recommend Super Mario Odyssey just to keep it fresh. All right, cool. That's our episode. Let us know what you guys are playing. And don't forget to write in contact geekfood@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys in the comments.